Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. If you are watching us, you know we're here at the world-famous Lexington Market. We're at Fadley Seafood on a winter's day. The snow is really piling up outside. And I have the Candy Cane Cash scratch-offs. We'll be giving these away here today. Our friends at GBMC sending us out on the road. Farner and Dermer making the call to my house for the HVAC on Wednesday to make sure my heat is going. We need heat. It's a cup of soup or bowl. We are not at the Moscone Center. We are not in San Francisco. I'm not going to Santa Clara. I'm here in downtown Baltimore, and we're going to be welcoming in a whole bunch of people this week. If you're unfamiliar, this is our fourth year of doing a cup of soup or bowl. And we learn about charity and community and people doing good stuff in the community. And the best part about this, Doc, is when I get an email from some young person saying, can you feature our organization or our leader or our president or our CEO? And I get these emails in August, September, October, November. I always send back. I say, look, it's football season. I do this thing called a cup of Super Bowl, and this is a perfect time for me to welcome people like Dr. Dermel Brunson. He is local. He came in here. He's like, I got my favorite Asian over there. I got my crab cake over here. Good to see you down here, Lexington Market, man.
Yes, man.
Now, so I've seen you do some stuff around town on Jay-Z and other places about your organization. Art is life. Life is art.
Yes.
Art is life. Art is life.
Yes.
And I'm a little artsy in my day, music-wise and whatnot. But
I know you just pointed out that Anita Baker earlier that was playing. So I know you know your music.
LTYC.net. Let's go. Tell me what we're doing here.
Leaders of Tomorrow Youth Center. We provide performing and creative arts for young people. Thanks so much for having us here today.
Well, pleasure,
we really appreciate
man.
It. Good to
where
meet you.
Where are you based? Where are you doing this?
Based out of Baltimore. Our office is right in Mount Vernon. We serve all of greater Baltimore, but also D.C. Metro, Hampton Roads, Virginia.
So you walked here?
Yes, if you didn't.
There's a lot of ice.
Yes.
But Mount Vernon, we're talking like six blocks from here.
There we
literally.
Go. That's it. And I live downtown as well, but the office is right on Charles Street. And so it's a beautiful opportunity to be in the community with you today.
Well, give me the lowdown. Like beginning, seeding this. This is the Baltimore question. When I don't know anything about. All right, where are you from? Where'd you go to high school? I'm from Dundalk, right?
Okay, I
went to Dundalk Community College. I went to University of Baltimore.
I worked
at the Sun.
Yes.
I lived downtown for 19 years. So I'm more east side than west side.
Yes.
But, you know, I've become more west side. I'm 57 years old, so I've been everywhere, man. You know, I'm like, you know, I've been everywhere.
I understand.
Where are you from?
And I'm more west side than east side.
All right.
More west and downtown.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in West Baltimore, Edmondson Village, Catonsville, Yale Heights, Irving. That whole area.
Almost paradise.
Yes.
Almost paradise, right?
Right over there. And then I went to the Baltimore School for the Arts. That's where I graduated from for high school.
Beautiful.
And so went out west to a private Christian university for college. And so.
Where's west?
California.
What part of California's big?
Merced, California.
All right.
Yeah.
Where was this?
Merced in L.A. as well. I did two programs in Los Angeles and in Merced.
So West Baltimore, you grew up. I don't know how old you are. I don't ever try to evaluate that. But what were arts opportunities like in West Baltimore? When you say Edmondson Village, I took the bus everywhere in my life in the city. And that's why when I have my father never drove. So we took the 23 bus. My bus always said Edmondson Village.
Yep.
I would get it at East Point Mall.
Yep.
And the 23 would come in here down Lombard Street,
straight
across
up.
Through the city, Saratoga.
Yep.
And I don't know where it went when it left. I never went west of Lexington Market.
Yep.
I never went west, really, a Howard Street
mm-hmm.
on a 23 bus. I would go down to the Civic Center.
Yes.
But I never went west of here. So anything west of there, I didn't know till I was 20, 25. Maybe Harlem Park because I covered sports, but I didn't know anything. But Edmondson Village, what arts for you? What did that mean?
So
did you play ball or no?
I played ball.
Okay.
The two things that mattered most to me as a kid were music and basketball.
Okay, fair enough.
And so, you know, I played ball, you know, young and, you know, BNBL and middle and high, you know, elementary school, but high school, I went to the art school. So everything for me from there on was just music and theater and dance and the whole experience of being at a conservatory model school. My mom put me in programs at, you know, after school.
What did you want to be? Did you want to go to Broadway? Was that your thing?
No,
you want to be a Hollywood star?
No, well, initially, I started out as a drummer at my mom's church for 10 years.
Okay.
So that was my first thing is I was in the music. I was a music guy. I went to.
So you're going to be Questlove. right? A little bit? No.
I'm just trying to find heroes. All of those people for me were inspirational, more like Quincy Jones.
Sure.
I'm more on that side of
all
the
right.
thing. And so those folks inspired me, and then being on stage.
Dude, you're a
gave
Quincy
me
Jones
bug.
Guy. We got a lot to talk about.
See what I mean?
We got a lot to talk
and
about.
And it gave me the bug. And so I saw the arts that impacted young people's lives. So I decided to, you know, take my life down that
journey. So Quincy Jones, was that a Michael Jackson thing for somebody your age?
Absolutely, but I was a kid who read the back of my mom's albums. So when I would read, as much as I loved Michael, I was reading, who's this Quincy Jones guy's name that's on everything?
So your mom's probably closer to my age. I'm 57.
My mom is in her 60s now.
Okay.
Her and my
so
dad.
Your mom was very sort of Commodores, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Absolutely.
Right.
And my
so
dad,
was
my
I.
family,
I mean,
yes.
I grew up, I mean... Most folks would know me as the redneck Venezuelan from East Baltimore and Dundalk. I grew up in Archie Bunker's Dundalk. But the music in the 70s and 80s has formed my life.
Yeah.
Whether it's Anita Baker, a mystery, which we heard here a minute ago.
Beautiful.
Or whether just, if I'm going to do karaoke at Pappas on a Monday night,
yeah.
I'm doing James Ingram, Quincy Jones,
oh,
just
of course.
Once.
There
you
we
know,
go.
Or I'm doing Fine 100 Ways.
There you
or,
go.
You know, I'm doing something like that.
You know the deal.
That's what
you
I'm talking about.
Yeah, those are the records.
So you grew up beating the drums.
Absolutely.
Wanting to going on art school, but
yep.
like, what was your track? It was after so music begat theater, begat arts, begat.
And the track at that time, believe it or not, because I was in the Christian community world, was coming through the church world. So a lot of the jobs that I had, opportunities, were serving in church-ran programs, religious-based organization-ran programs, faith-based organizations, counseling, mentoring, music programs.
Doing the right thing. Trying to.
Well, whatever we believe that is, just believing that we can do more to help people.
Sure.
That's always been something that I feel like God put inside of me was to help people.
That's beautiful.
And so that's just the journey
we're
I've been on.
We're all put here for that. Whether maybe some of us don't realize that that's our purpose.
Ain't that something?
And it took me some time, you know. I mean, I'm not here in San Francisco talking to John Elway this week. I'm here talking to you.
See?
And that, it gives that's more value for me because I've
yeah.
done that 27 times. I don't
that's
need
beautiful.
To do that again.
That's beautiful.
Know? So your organization, mm-hmm. Mount Vernon, give everybody how we can help you and what you do. And I do want to go back to your whole story because I think when small community organizations come together, there always is you and a mom and a group of people and mm-hmm. something that inspired you
yes.
to make this your life's mission.
Yes. Well, what inspired me is my family, teachers and educators from the community, from the church that I went to, the churches that I were a part of.
Now, what were your churches? Still there? All West Baltimore?
Yeah, I grew up at Wayland Baptist Church on Garrison Boulevard.
Okay.
So that Forest Park community.
Okay.
And so for me, that inspiration
by
is
by a golf course.
Yeah, not walking
there you go.
Distance from
I know
the golf
RJ
course.
Comes on the show all
See,
the time
you know the
over
deal.
There.
You know the
he
deal.
Knows how to hit it.
And so that's what inspired me, man, was that kind of thing.
All right, so your group and your organization, let's
yes.
go through it again. Give everybody the initials. Give everybody the give me the name again.
LTYC.
Yeah, okay, LTYC.
Leaders of Tomorrow Youth Center.
Get me a hat, says LTYC.
Yes, I should have brought you one. I'll get you one.
When was it founded, and give me the
so
whole
I founded
background.
It basically right out of high school.
Okay.
So 2003.
Wow.
Is when we started.
Wow, we're 23 years in.
Yeah, man. Started planting seeds, and I was still working and doing other things. I maybe went full-time in like 2012, 2013 year. But, you know, we wanted to see young people have arts opportunities. I felt a little bit of a survivor's remorse type of a thing by being able to go to Baltimore School for the Arts. I was so thankful for that experience. But I knew that there were other kids in my community, family, church, other schools that didn't have that opportunity. And when I was counseling and going to my visits at schools in Baltimore City, I just noticed there weren't enough arts in these schools in the inner city. And so we started a journey to find ways to put the arts in schools. So we go into schools.
When you say the arts, that
yes.
is such an all-encompassing thing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, when I think of the really special people in my life, and you don't know this about me, but my middle school, and you can look all this up on Baltimore Positive, but my middle
awesome.
School music teacher greatly impacted me and still impacts me to this day. Matter of fact, he was the last guest I had on with this equipment on that headset, Mr. Calvin Statham.
Wow.
Was when the Statham Singers, part of the Claire Ward
yes,
group back
yes,
in the 70s.
Yes.
Mr. Statham lives in Sparrows Point. He's a young 85, 86 years old.
Wow.
And he still does Christmas caroling down at his church in Edgemere. And we went down there at Christmas time, and I had him out. When I think of that kind of background, and
yes.
he grew up Turners, East Baltimore, African-American.
Yes.
But learned to play the piano through his family because everybody in his family was into music.
Wow.
Now I'm going back into the 50s here, right?
Yeah, 50s and
60s. And those opportunities came to me, and I think I had an African-American music teacher who was brutally murdered in the 1980s, and I just found his brother, who's alive out in California, of all places, and I'm going to have him on. But I was taught by these, at that point, young African-American men of faith, because they learned how to play the piano, probably not dissimilar to your music background, and they taught me.
Yes.
I was taught by young African-American men in my middle school, my elementary school.
Wow.
The only music teachers I ever had were pianists who were young African-American men from both from Baltimore.
Wow.
And that's, we're going back 50 years now, you know. And I don't know where those opportunities would have come for a man of your age in the middle of that sandwich period.
So
you talk about the turn of the century, where you would find a piano to play.
Yep.
Find a French horn like I did in third grade to play or to have. But kids in your era were probably much more, because you're my son's age, much more computer literate, much more being able to make music by using a computer.
Possibly,
where,
yes.
You know, where you had to have a piano in 1948 or 1955 or even my era, right?
Well, when I grew up, you know, because I was around church musicians and then classically trained musicians from Baltimore School for the Arts, I'm around the real thing, the French horns.
But not everybody had a chance to be around that, though.
Yeah, no, and that's why we do what we do, because we're trying to introduce young people to what they may not have an experience to be around, because you're correct.
You know what I had, man? One of those damn little recorders.
Yeah.
Little plastic, little thing, right?
Yes.
And we had xylophones when I was a kid. I'm thinking about when I was a kid, fourth grade, the things we pounded on. I mean, of course I wanted a drum kit like Peter Chris from Kiss that said Pearl.
Oh, my
goodness.
You know,
but like, and I wanted a Gibson guitar, and I wanted a Fender bass.
And my dad bought me my first drum set from right here on Center Street at Ted's, at the Ted's Jazz set. So he bought me my first set for Christmas. I was 10 years old.
Did you have pads and stuff?
I had the whole set.
Yeah, right.
At 10 years old. So that was a blessing. My dad and mom saw that gifting in me. So they see me at church, and now they buy me a set for Christmas. And so that's...
And that brought you closer to the church, brought you closer to music, everything,
course,
right?
Of course. All the things. And community and opportunity and the whole thing. And so we just want to make sure young people get connected to art. So your question was, how encompassing? We provide music, theater, dance, visual arts, creative writing, fashion and cosmetology, culinary arts, media arts, martial arts. So all of the performing and creative
arts. See, I don't think about some of that as being arts, right?
Absolutely.
You're the last couple you just gave me,
absolutely.
Like, I would not have thought that's what you did.
Those are art forms. And so those would be considered creative arts. So they're performing arts, and then you have your creative arts. We see something in all of those seeds for young people, for their education, for leadership development, for social interpersonal skill development. All of those things come through being artistically connected. And so we just want to keep that journey going and make sure that we push the vision forward.
How many people are you affecting at this point and come through your center in any given week, month, year?
Oh, my goodness. Any year, because we have contracts with school systems and the Y and Boys and Girls Clubs.
I love to hear the Y. John Hoey will love that.
All that kind of stuff. We're I know John Hoey. He knows us. And so he's been really good to us.
He's the best.
He's been very good to LTYC.
These are the people lifting the city. That's why I want to shine a light on all of it this
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
I'm so thrilled that I've started the pole party with you this week. I like you already. I want to come down and hang out with you, man.
Man, this is great. I mean, that's it. So
those, I do.
And that's what we're doing. So
I knew from Anita Baker. I knew we were on something.
I knew from Anita Baker. When you heard the Anita Baker come on,
I said,
you
know. Man, he's too young to know Anita Baker.
My goodness, Anita Baker didn't know it. You know that Anita Baker record, Mystery.
Dr. Jermell Brunson is my guest here. He's helping young people with the arts. So asking my people and our audience, if you live in Timonium, you live in Glen Burnie, you live in Bel Air, you're outside, what can people, do you have a Super Bowl? Do you have events? Do you have fun? Give me some calendar things that come up that people can participate, maybe volunteer, come down and help out.
So,
so
right now we've elongated our love drive that we do every year. It's our 13th year doing it, where we collect new hats and coats and gloves. And, of course, we know we need them now with the
more
weather
outside,
right?
Yeah.
And so we elongated it this year past the holiday season. We're still collecting warm hats and new hats and coats and gloves. That's something that we do in addition to the arts. We always want to make sure we're being charitable to our community. So any person that wants to give in kind, whether it's art supplies so that we can have art supplies in our programs, whether it's for culinary arts, fashion and cosmetology, visual arts, but also goodies like coats and hats and scarves for kids. We make sure that young people in the community get those. Right now, we're getting ready for second semester programs and gearing up, believe it or not, thinking about the summer and what summer programming looks like.
You're sending me to summer school?
Well, we want to make sure that everybody, every young person has equitable access to the arts.
Summer's
even
the most
summer.
Important. That's when you get in trouble in
That's
summer
what I mean.
In this city, right?
That's what I mean.
Literally, like.
That's what I mean.
So, success stories over 23 years. I mean, I'm sure you run into people every day, but have you put some people in the bands, on the tours, on the buses, in the Broadway? I mean,
we've exposed young people to all of those things, to Broadway. We've taken trips from young people to Booker T.
New York is so close.
Up to Broadway. So, yes.
We are blessed to be near New York.
Yes,
here.
And
we really are.
We have our own Hippodrome right here as well. And
right here. Yeah, right here.
No, Hippodrome. This is this way.
Hold on.
Hippodrome,
where
yeah.
Am I?
You're we're right at
here.
Fadley's, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
we're right here.
So, Hippodrome, and then, you know, D.C., we've taken kids to Kennedy Center and the whole thing.
All turned around, man. I know the city pretty well.
You
I'm
did.
Thinking old market,
you
new
impressed
market
me.
Around the
You
corner.
Impressed me when you were talking about the 23, because I was a 23 guy, the 20, the 23 and the 2. Those were the buses that
so
I
the
caught.
Buses we took were
and
the 23.
And sometimes the 15.
We took the 23. If the 4 was a weird one, but we always took the 10.
Okay.
And the 20, I was on the 20 many, many times.
Yeah,
so the 20 ran on Baltimore Street.
Yes, yes it did.
See,
yes,
I, it did. Come
yes,
on,
it did.
Man.
Yes, it did.
The doctor's here. So how did you become a doctor? Give me the doctorate.
So working in the Christian world, in the community of religion, and doing programming for kids and counseling, I took a Christian counseling background, and so my doctorate is in Christian clinical counseling.
And tell me how that practically works on the streets today for believers, non-believers, wherever you
well,
are.
Well, because that program that I was fortunate to go through was both theologically based and traditional clinically based, we're able to merge the understanding of us all being human souls walking the earth. Doesn't matter what religious background you have. We all have a reason and need to be heard, to be loved, to experience love, to give and receive love. We all want to be okay. And so that's really what that drives me every day. That experience I had in that program allowed me to just communicate with people every day because it's tough. All the different personalities and conversations you got to have. You're smiling because you know.
Managing people with different opinions is always, you know, it's the challenge all of us. You know, it's our life experience of how we negotiate, get along, find détente. And, you know, like, I don't want to be too, but how we don't kill each other, how we stay alive. We help each other as opposed to fight with each other, right? Like, literally.
Yep, got to find common ground.
And I think in this city where murder's been a problem, violence has been a problem, all of that, and I haven't had the mayor on, but I ran into the mayor. I was over at Coppin. Coppin's been our partner for 15 years.
Okay.
I was over at Coppin for when Dawn Staley brought the Lady Gamecocks up to try to clean the clocks of my Lady Eagles over there. But I was with the mayor, and the murder numbers going down when that is a scoreboard that they keep outside of this city and certainly in the country to say, Baltimore, bang, bang, bad things are happening there. I'm Baltimore positive.
Right.
I've been doing this for a decade, and I've lived down here for 2 decades, and I've been a part of this community for 6 decades.
Yeah.
The reputation of what we are and what we really are, but seeing that we're not hurting each other as much as we used to in the city.
Exactly.
And that we've moved beyond Freddie Gray. We're a decade beyond that, where some of those kids are 10, 12 years old now. They're in their 20s. Mm-hmm. You've met a lot of these young people coming through your program.
Mm-hmm.
This city had some real challenges a decade ago, still does.
Yes.
But I say every single day, even as I'm here today when it's a little deserted and it's 20 degrees out and there's snow up to here, this city's getting better. This
Absolutely.
City's coming back. I don't. There's no question about
no
that.
No question about it in
I
my
feel
mind.
It when I drive through it.
You and me both, brother. Me and me both. Coming back with the thunder and the vengeance. Baltimore is the nation's next entertainment and media hub. Music, entertainment, and media. It's bubbling under so beautifully, and the season has come upon us now for Baltimore to shine in a way through the arts and entertainment and media in a major way. And so you're saying the right thing. You understand this city has a heartbeat. There's still charm in Charm City, and people have to remember that. There's still charm in Charm City.
Dude, I'm down here giving away lottery tickets right now from the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at GBMC have sent us down here. It's a cup of soup or bowl. We're doing it with LTYC. You can find them at LTYC.net. Tell everybody how they can help your organization. And with all these artistic people, mm-hmm. I'm thinking you're putting on things that I can come and watch people do things and participate in things.
At times.
Give me a little calendar of maybe into the spring. I'm going to be here before opening day as well. Okay. We get the Orioles going down here. In the springtime, tell me what you got
going on. I'm believing that we will have some performances. We thought we were going to have some programs that was going to start to have. Normally, we would have Black History Month performances.
Sure.
This year, we're not having any, but we'll have some performances happening towards the end of the year, and I'll make sure you get the immediate
Well,
invite.
I'm going to make sure you guys get back on so we can promote that
for
you and get people out. That's really what it's about.
That's a beautiful thing.
How can
we
help you? Just website?
Yep, website, LTYC, LTYC Arts on all social media platforms for donations, for charitable, for programming in your community.
And right now, coats and hats for kids, right?
Absolutely,
right,
coats and hats for kids. And if your kid's school needs an art program, you can reach out to us through LTYC.net. If you're, whether that's public, private, Montessori, charter, Catholic, if you believe
Are there schools here that don't have arts at all?
There are some schools that have limited arts or very minimal.
When they say limited, what would be the first or second or third thing a school would have? Because, I mean, I had an art class, a music class, a gym class,
yes.
And then I got into middle school, and then I had the home ec and
there are some schools that are going to have either a music or visual art in some cases.
Okay.
Especially when you have a smaller enrollment. Or if you're not a public school, think again, if you're a private school, a Christian school, a Catholic, Montessori, there might be a need as well to add.
Maybe an after-school program, that sort of thing.
Or even during the school day. You might say during the school day, we only have visual art, we want to add music.
And we're going to do that 11 to 12 on Wednesday, and it's going to be a class, and we're going to come in and teach it for an hour and then go to the next school, teach it at 1 o'clock.
There we go.
Else.
Yep, that's what our instructors
would
do.
See, now I'm learning. That's
as an organization for LTYC, we would go into that community and that school and provide whatever they need. It could be every day. They could want dance every day from 10 to 12, and we would come in and provide that every day.
I mean, I dance like disco. You know what I mean? I get Ultra to come down. Ultra and I, she's trying to get me out dancing all the time.
Okay.
So, but singing, dancing, music. I love music, man.
Music's
my thing.
I can tell.
No, man, I got my Kansas belt buckle on here today.
Oh, look at that.
See, if I would have known about, I would have worn my Earth, Wind, and Fire. I would have worn my Stevie Wonder. I would have worn something that was more in your lane.
You already blessed me because by you saying those names when you were going down the roster earlier of what you listened to growing up, that makes sense. You had me at Anita Baker, I'm telling you. Once you knew that was Anita Baker off the top, boom, in the song, we're
I love Anita
we're
Baker.
We're locked in. She's one of the best.
She played a couple years ago down here at Artscape, right?
Yes, she's a legend. She's one of the best.
It was about 150 degrees, and my wife and I live on the 23rd floor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened the window on the 23rd floor toward Camden Yard. You can always hear the home runs, the mm-hmm. noise. She played in the parking lot, and we had a tub. We opened the window and did like the bottle of wine thing, and mm-hmm. we listened to Anita Baker's concert on the 23rd floor through the window.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
Man, memories. Baltimore is such a great place. Dr.
Yes.
Jamel Brunson is here. He is helping young people through the arts. Life is art. Art is life. I'm going to send everybody out. I want to keep messing up that L and the T and the Y and the C.
Yes.
LTYC.net. Well, I got to get the initials together.
Yes.
We're down here at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. By the way, I'm getting you we got to take a break and get a crab cake here, but I got to give you a lottery ticket because you're of the legal age. And so for kids being involved in your program, city or county too? I got to ask that because
City,
all
county.
All the above.
Yeah, Baltimore City and County, Anne Arundel, Howard, Hawford. We're approved in D.C. schools, Prince George's County schools, Montgomery County schools, the whole area.
All right. Well, I got to know more about your organization because I like you. Dr. Jamel
like
Brunson, took
you.
Me 6 months to get him out. I will not be a stranger out here. We're down here at Fadley's. We're going to be on Tuesday. We're going to be at El Guapo in Catonsville, Pozole. I'm going to have some delicious soup, tortilla soup, which I need. Wednesday, we're going to be over at Coco's. I'll be having the cream of crab soup over there.
Coco's
Thursday,
I'm
at Pizza John's Thursday, so that means French fries and gravy, maybe a cheesesteak. And then on Friday, we're going to close things down at Costas in Timonium. We'll make sure we get everybody up there for some Crab Imperial on Friday as well. Also brought to you by friends at GBMC. Farner and Dermer, our newest sponsor, HVAC and heating and air conditioning as well as plumbing. So we're appreciative of that. And Luke's going to join me on Friday as well. You were asking me before we started, just because I want to make sure that I got like a real Baltimore guy here. hey, man, what'd you think of the Ravens coach, man? Are you good with all that? Yeah. You were Brian Flores guy.
I wanted Brian Flores.
I was a Jim Schwartz guy because Jimmy's a Baltimore guy.
Okay.
If not, I was an Anthony Weaver guy because he's been my friend for 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-Jesse Minter, and I'm not even anti-Harbaugh Way, but I do think that they found a comfortable selection with a guy who comes from the Harbaugh family where...
Which I didn't like that.
They sort of broke eggs, but they didn't make a new omelet for me.
I love how you said that. I wanted us to be more adventurous and forward-thinking.
29-year-old offensive coordinator, that's adventurous.
It is. We have a young team. You know, we have a young team, and we need the coach to be relatable to that young team and able to get the most out of that young team in a creative, sexy way. If we had an Andy Reid or a Sean Payton at the – the plays that we could run with these guys would be amazing when you talk about you,
Shanahan.
If we had Shanahan, are you kidding me?
A defensive coordinator, so they're not thinking that way, obviously. Eric and Steve aren't thinking that way. And whether it works or not remains to be seen.
Yeah.
In totality, the Harbaugh thing couldn't have gone much better. They won a lot of games. They won a championship. He made it through two quarterbacks. The second quarterback's won two MVPs, and they haven't been good in January, and it cost him his job, right? I mean, literally.
I have a different thought about that. I feel that he came into a wonderful situation because he had veterans on his team, and Ray Lewis was the leader of that team. Ed Reed and those boys were the leaders of that team. Ogden and those boys. He didn't have to lead as much as he did.
Ogden left the minute he showed up. Ogden didn't want any part of it.
Those boys had already created a culture, is what I'm saying, of
defense,
but also accountability and leadership on both sides of the ball. And so Harbaugh was able to continue the momentum from those days. I feel like we need, as you just mentioned, if we had a Shanahan.
If you're here to disparage John Harbaugh, I'll sign up on that. I'll take it.
And the thing about it, it's not.
I'm the original John Harbaugh disparager. He took my press credential after 27 years and lied about it. So I'm not a big fan.
I don't know anything about that. What I know is this. I'm looking at the X's and O's and the wins of the game. He seems like
he's a hell of a football coach. He's got $100 million to go run the Giants. Now, whether he's that guy who's going to come in and change a building, to your point,
yes.
He didn't change the building here.
Yeah.
And he certainly didn't necessarily change it for the better
in a lot of ways. He doesn't have that even as much as his brother does, as much as Jim does. Jim can come in and change the climate of an energy of a program. He did it at 49ers.
And he
did it at Michigan.
And he can cheat and lie with the best of them, his brother.
Possibly, but he's also
– He's got a 10-year suspension. He can't go back and coach college football. He got the death penalty, man. He didn't cheat a little. He cheated a lot, and he lied about it. So he did. I mean, that's documented. I wouldn't vote for Belichick in the Hall. I don't like cheaters and liars. I'm not down with that.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away from a lot of the wins.
Oh, success.
Yeah.
Look, Belichick's got the rings. The cheating somehow is not supposed to even be remembered.
Right.
You know. Culturally, I have a real problem with the guy leading the country right now because you can't dismiss integrity. Integrity is the first thing you and I need between each other to have a relationship.
We need that.
Trust and integrity is what it's about. You break that, that's when all hell breaks loose for
you're
everybody.
Right. For
everybody.
100% correct. Right. 100% correct.
And I think that John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh have had a long track record of not being able to keep trust with people in the way that other people have.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make Jesse Minter has a clean slate.
He does,
right?
Completely clean.
But all that being said, it's a tough job.
It is. And he could come in and have some great ideas and motivate. I don't, our team needs leadership. That's the issue. We have the talent. Lamar's not the leader. He's the best player.
Right.
He's the best player. And so that's our issue.
And sometimes that can be problematic.
Again, our two championships, we had a leader. His name was Ray Lewis. He was the leader.
One of the all-time great leaders there's ever been in a sport.
So we don't have a leader anymore on the team. We have a great player. We have an MVP player.
See, I think they brought Roquan in and tried to import leadership.
Yes.
Kyle Hamilton.
Roquan is on his way. He's developing.
Kyle Hamilton's lead by example. You know, he's Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Level.
That the defensive players, Humphreys, all those guys are
really
good.
Jesse Minter wins, you're going to say, look at all the talent he had, right?
Possibly.
But he was able to
rally that talent and then get them to do the best.
That's a credit to DaCosta too, though.
Yes.
That, you know, you have to have the talent to win. Nobody wins without the talent.
No.
But we're seeing Seattle and the Patriots really maximize what they've done.
Yes.
Because nobody looked at those two teams in August and said they're the most talented
at
teams.
All.
They thought the Ravens were the most talented team.
And they, yes. So. And they jinxed us, too. They kept saying we were the best roster, we were going to win, and blah, 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 blah.
Mike Tomlin, they're going to miss him in Pittsburgh. That's
I think
all I'm
so.
Saying.
I think so as well.
I mean, the last 10 years, it's like every time he got into a fight with John Harbaugh had better players.
Yep.
And Tomlin won more games.
Yep. That makes no sense.
Over a decade and a half. So that's really, you know, that's what it – can you take – less and do more.
There we go.
And Jesse Minter might be the guy to do
he
that.
He might be.
All right. From your lips to God's ears. All right. Dr. Jamel Brunson is here. I want to get L-T-Y-C.
Yeah.
I got it right.
Yeah, yes.
Those are tough letters, man.
Yeah. It confuses people
L-T-Y-C.
Sometimes.
All right. .net. We're back for more from Fadley's. I got to go get a crab cake. We are Baltimore Positive, WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Stay with us. We got more great Baltimore people, make more great stories ahead.